genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brain.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Oh, then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turning now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, this is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We're live every day, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. You can also hear us streaming over the internet at brainstormingonline.com. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people say and relate it to how we live and work right here in Ventura County. Billy the Brain is smart radio with sharp questions aimed at intelligent guests. It's talk radio done right for the 21st century. If you want to join in the conversation, you can always call us at 639-0008, or if you're outside of the area code, it's area code 805-639-0008. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is heroes and villains. Each of my guests will discuss how society views a hero or a villain, whether it's today or in the past. My first guest is revered by some, reviled by others. Nevertheless, he's earned a reputation for outspoken public service. He believes President Obama is acting cowardly by bypassing Elizabeth Warren to lead the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. We'll discuss why. My second guest is known for his financial advice, but we've invited him on today because it's the 42nd anniversary of man's landing on the moon. He happens to be one of this country's largest collectors of space memorabilia. We'll talk about the significance of man's landing on the moon. My third guest is a historian who writes for both popular and scholarly audiences. We'll examine popular misconceptions and the enduring legacy of Billy the Kid from his book, To Hell on a Fast Horse, Billy the Kid, Pat Garrett, and The Trial Goes On. My final guest teaches ordinary people how to become heroes at work or at home. His 10 rules for generating positive energy to fuel your life, your work, and your team has been utilized by businesses and sports teams. We'll discuss his book, The Energy Bus. And as always, if you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. Ralph Nader is an American progressive political activist and five-time candidate for President of the United States. Ralph ran a write-in candidacy in 1992 New Hampshire Democratic primary. Then he ran as the Green Party nominee in 1996 and 2000 and as an independent candidate in 2004 and 2008. He's an author, lecturer, attorney. His areas of particular concern include consumer protection, humanitarianism, environmentalism, and democratic government. Ralph came to prominence after publishing his book, Unsafe at Any Speed, a critique of the safety record of the Chevrolet Corvair automobile. In 1992, NYU panel of journalists ranked Unsafe at Any Speed the 38th most popular among top 100 pieces of journalism for the 20th century. In 1990, Life magazine named Ralph one of the 100 most influential Americans of the 20th century. Joining us from Washington, D.C. Hi, Ralph. How are you today?
Pretty good. Thank you.
Well, thank you for being my guest. We love having thought leaders such as yourself. So let's dive right into it. For some of my listeners who may not be aware of it, let's just start with the basics. What is the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau? Why do we need it?
Well, it's a top cop. It's a federal cop on the Wall Street corporate crime and fraud beat. And, of course, people feel it right back to their daily lives when they get ripped off by the credit card company, they get a 400% rollover interest on payday loans, when the mortgage rackets lead to foreclosure of their homes. Congress decided to create a regulatory agency, and the idea came from Elizabeth Warren, who's a professor of law at Harvard, and then at the request of Senator Harry Reid, came down to head the special committee overseeing the shenanigans in Wall Street, did a great job,
mm-hmm.
then moved over to Treasury to start setting up this bureau, which officially opens tomorrow, July 21st, and she's been recruiting top-flight people. Wall Street doesn't like her. She's too smart, too tough. She knows what they're up to, and she's a great communicator. So everybody thought she was going to be nominated to head the agency, and a few days ago, Barack Obama threw her overboard and basically put words in her mouth at the announcement saying one of her jobs was to find a director of this new agency, and she's found this former attorney general from Ohio, Richard Cordray. But she wanted the job. And so it's just another example of signaling to Congress and to Wall Street that Obama is spineless. Wall Street didn't want it, and Obama said, okay, we'll obey your dictates. And the more he signals spinelessness, the more the rogue Republicans in Washington and the corporate lobbies are going to push him and push him to surrender more and more. And we can see now that he's moving in the next few days, if not hours, to accept more of the Republican demands to start inching in on Medicaid, Medicare, Social Security without requiring these giant profitable corporations to pay their fair share of taxes. I mean, people have no idea how extensive these tax loopholes are, but I'll give you one. The Citizens for Tax Justice put out a list of 12 major corporations that made $167 billion in profits over the last 3 years. They're Honeywell, they're General Electric, they're Verizon, well-known names. $167 billion with a B over the last 3 years in profits. They made zero federal income payments. Zero. In other words, anybody listening to this program who sent a dollar or more to the IRS at tax time, a dollar or more sent more money to the U.S. Treasury than those 12 super profitable companies. So that's what we got to do. We got to stop subordinating the sovereignty of the people to the corporate conquistadores and make them pay up.
All right. Well, my guest is Ralph Nader. And, Ralph, there's a lot in that answer because we went from talking about Elizabeth Warren to federal tax code reform, which is probably necessary since our corporate taxes here in the United States are the highest in the world today. And while I would argue the point that you made about the top corporations paying their fair share, those tax loopholes exist. They're simply taking advantage of the loopholes. Plus, anybody who's a shareholder of those corporations, such as General Electric, Corning, and some of the others that you mentioned, will pay taxes on their unearned income from that, their dividend income. So taxes are getting paid. It's just the corporations themselves are taking advantage of it. I want to return.
Have the highest taxes in the world.
Corporate tax rates? Who has higher?
They have one of the highest tax rates, which is 35%, but that's not what is at issue here. It's how much they actually pay.
And I did.
For example, General Electric paid zero.
Right.
See?
I mean,
if you were running a business, you weren't taking the theory, you were taking the practice. What do they actually pay? And any electrician in your district or any plumber or any computer designer is paying more than those 12 companies.
While I understand the distinction between them, we do have the highest federal tax rates on business anywhere in the world, not necessarily the highest income that's coming in from those taxes. But let's get back to this, if we can, about Elizabeth Warren, because what does this snub actually say about political conviction and the clout of President Obama that he bypasses Elizabeth Warren in favor of Richard Cordray to head up that agency? Is it just because he's in the pocket of Wall Street? I mean, Obama has never really catered to Wall Street before. Why does he cave now?
Well, first of all, he extended the bailout of Wall Street that Bush started. Second, his emissaries, as we speak, are holding fundraising dinners in fancy New York restaurants, begging Wall Street investment bankers, hedge fund managers, brokers to contribute to his campaign. Third, he surrounded himself in the White House and Treasury with ex-Wall Street types like William Daley, who came from J.P. Morgan, Tim mm-hmm. Geithner, who was the head of the Federal Reserve in New York,
and right.
looked the other way while his Wall Street buddies were getting away with the kind of shenanigans that collapsed the U.S. economy. And, of course, he had Larry Summers by way of Wall Street and Harvard, who was a Wall Street representative as his chief economic advisor. And to make matters even worse, he appointed the head of General Electric, Jeff Immelt, as the chief of the advisory committee to Obama on creating jobs in America. And General Electric is a major job exporter and doesn't pay taxes. So that's the story. So when you say the answer to your question is, Obama is a corporatist. He was a corporatist when he was a state senator, when he was a U.S. senator. He is conflict-averse when it comes to corporate power, and he's decided to go with the flow, and he sacrificed one of the finest public servants in memory, namely Elizabeth Warren, who wanted to really put law and order to these corporate deceivers and crooks and protect American families.
My guest is Ralph Nader. And Ralph, let me take the other side of this argument, if I can, for just a minute.
Go ahead.
Because the Dodd-Frank bill was the one that actually created the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau that we're talking about here. And the Dodd-Frank bill was a bill that was actually passed before it was fully written. So it was in process of being written as it goes along. So I'm going to take the other side of this. Elizabeth Warren, no doubt about it, she was the driving force behind the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. Bright lady, sharp lawyer, we'll give her all the credit in the world. However, in the case of the bill is not completely written yet, I did have concerns about Elizabeth Warren stepping into the role to lead the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau when the laws aren't written, and she's so intimately involved with this that she could, in fact, be the fox in the henhouse, actually over-regulating in the financial areas because she knows all of the ins and outs. By bringing in Richard Corday, who is not as intimately involved, he will be more of a practitioner of what's in place rather than somebody who will be formulating policy as it's written. What do you say to that?
First of all, I don't understand what you mean, that it was passed before it was written.
The bill was not fully written and understood when it was passed.
Well, there are a lot of bills that aren't understood. It was completely written before it was passed.
A lot of the details had not been ironed out, Ralph, in the bill, the Dodd-Frank bill, when it was passed through Congress. We knew that we wanted to regulate. We knew that we wanted to have something like the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, but all of the details were not in place when the bill was finally voted on.
Well, they never are. Any regulatory bill that passes Congress delegates to the regulatory agencies the detailed regulations that have to be issued. But it's not correct to say it the way you did. The important thing here is that this is not that strong an agency. First of all, the lobbies managed to weaken it in the Congress. But second, it's overseen by a special committee made up of Federal Reserve, Secretary of the Treasury, that can veto anything that this bureau does because it's buried in the bowels of the Federal Reserve itself, which is pretty much a pro-banking institution. It gets its budget from bank fees. It isn't even accountable to Congress. So I just don't think these corporations want to be under the rule of law. They want the rule of power, and they've gotten their way with both parties for so long. And that's one reason why our economy has been declining and declining, because they are the corporate state. There isn't a single agency and department. If you ask the question, who's the most powerful outside lobby on this department, whether Department of Defense, Treasury, Department of Agriculture, it's corporate lobbies. And they put their top officials in government positions, like Wall Street pretty much dictates who's going to be the Secretary of the Treasury. And they have something like 7,000 political action committees funneling money both to the Congress and to the White House. So that's the scene, and it's up to the American people, because the Constitution starts, as you know, with we the people, not we the corporation, to focus on their two senators and representative, make them come back to town meetings, hold them accountable, and when you do call them or write them, always ask them a question or two, because that forces them to respond to you. If you just say do this and don't do that, they can just shove it on, put it on a pile. But if you ask them a question that requires a factual response, you'll get their attention more. That's what it really comes down to. How many people are going to spend more time watching Congress than watching themselves in the mirror?
And that is good advice. My guest is Ralph Nader. Ralph, we'll have to have you back to talk about lobbying, because that is definitely a hot button of mine. Would love to discuss that with you. I know that you're on a tight time schedule. I do have one final question that's not relating to Elizabeth Warren,
sure,
though. But we're talking about all the political reform and things that need to happen. You have been a candidate in the past. The presidential elections of 2012 are coming up. Are you contemplating at this time running for president of the United States?
Pretty unlikely. I'd like someone else to give the voters a choice for a progressive agenda. I mean, we have not enough candidates giving people choices. As you know, in California, you've got a lot of gerrymandered congressional districts where it's either slam dunk Republican reelection or slam dunk Democrat reelection to the House of Representatives. But if people want to know what we're thinking and what we're supporting, just visit the website nader.org and sign up. You'll get my weekly column free on your email.
Ah, that is great. Nader.org, NADER.org. Ralph, it has been a delight having you as my guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you, Billy.
Thank you. Take care.